Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you. If I haven't got a chance to meet you, I'm Taylor, honored to share God's word with you. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 this morning, if you have your paper Bibles. In fact, I think primarily Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to spend our time. And I'd love to have you turn there, or if you have your apps, click on the Bible app and head to Romans chapter 8. We're in a series talking about the war on loneliness. And I believe there's some powerful truths within this scripture for us this morning. Romans chapter 8, let's start with verse 1. Popular verse, well-known verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then jump down a few verses to verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship or daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you for what your word says about itself. It says that it's living and it's active. It's the words of God for us. It's sweet. And it's the words of life. And it's the words of direction. And if we're honest this morning, we need direction. We need guidance. We need you to show us the way. And so, Lord, I pray you would show us the way and then shape us as people that follow the way. Follow where you're guiding and leading us in the culture in which we live. Help the church to be alive and active in the hope of the world as you've called us to be a city on a hill, a light that is not hidden, but a light to shine for all to see. Help our own personal lives to be that in our neighborhoods and our workplaces and the places we go. And this, Lord, right now, these next 30 minutes is the equipping for that, the equipping to go and to be here calling us to be. So may it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, show of hands, who has seen the popular show, This Is Us? Have you seen the show, This Is Us? Okay, many of you. Many of you that have watched the show, or if you've heard of the show, This Is Us, when you've seen it, you know it's basically emotional cardio. It's, you don't just watch This Is Us, you recover from This Is Us. It's one of those shows where you sit with your spouse and you start an episode thinking, we're just going to watch one episode before bed. And then 3 hours later, you're sitting there quietly questioning your entire life, your parenting, your calling, and all while trying to keep the tears in. I love the show This Is Us. At the center of the show This Is Us is a character named Randall. You see, Randall's parents, Jack and Rebecca, they lost one of their, here's a picture of them, they lost one of their triplets at birth. And as they lost one of their triplets at birth, they found that there was another baby whose father had left him. This baby was Randall. And so Jack and Rebecca, the two parents, felt a conviction to adopt Randall into their family. And this show is a story of Randall being adopted into their family. From the outside, it's beautiful. Randall is loved. He's wanted. He's included. But throughout the whole show, throughout the whole series, we see that Randall wrestles with a question that underlining never really goes away. It's this question, do I really belong? And what makes this show so powerful is that his parents do everything they can to make him feel that he belongs. They show him and they sit with him again and again. There's times where you'll see Jack, Randall's father, will sit with him and say, you're my son completely and fully. I love you. You're a part of this family. And yet, as you watch the show, you still feel the tension. You feel the tension because Randall's aware that he grows up in a different kind of a story. His story started differently. Randall looks different than the rest of his family. He carries questions about where he came from. He wonders if a part of his identity exists somewhere else. He lives with this quiet and this internal pressure, feeling deeply loved, yet also feeling strangely out of place at the same time. And there's moments in the show where you see Randall trying to achieve more, trying to succeed more, trying to hold everything together, almost as if Randall needs to prove that he deserves to be the place where he's at. As if his belonging is not received, it's earned. Even though he gets constantly affirmed, even though his family constantly loves him, even though everyone watching can clearly see that he's a part of the family, deep down he still wonders, am I truly a son? Or am I just different? And here's why I think the show, This Is Us, and this story resonates with so many. It's because we're asking the same question. Every heart in this room and those watching online holds this quiet fear. Do I belong? Do I belong somewhere? Am I seen? Am I accepted? Am I just one mistake away from being kicked out? See, many of us, we know the feeling. We know this underlying quiet fear that Randall experiences in the show. And we feel lonely because we ask these kinds of questions, do I belong? And we can't answer them with confidence. And because we can't answer them with confidence, fear sets in and we retreat and loneliness sets in. And to be clear, as Pastor Daniel so brilliantly opened with last week, loneliness is not about being without people in the room. Loneliness is when you feel alone because you're not known. You can be in a room full of hundreds of people and you can still feel alone. You can still feel lonely because loneliness is the feeling of being present but not fully known, included but not fully secure. It's the feeling. Loneliness is the feeling of not belonging. And how many know we've all felt that feeling of not belonging? We've all felt those moments where, oh, we just don't feel included or welcomed here. And here's the good news this morning. And I just feel like the scriptures are going to build you up this morning. They're going to encourage you. They're going to meet us at this moment. I think the good news is this morning is that the Bible says the deepest problem of the human heart is not just sin, it's orphanhood. And the Bible doesn't just forgive you, he adopts you. That's good news this morning. That God doesn't just forgive you and say, have fun with your and keep you at a distance. He forgives you and he brings you close. He forgives you and he adopts you into his family. The gospel isn't just about forgiveness. The gospel is about orphans becoming sons and daughters. The gospel isn't just about God forgives your sin and God forgives your past. The gospel is God gives you a family and God gives you people in your life. I love what Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says this. It says, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. I love that word, that phrase, adoption to sonship. Because here's what I know this morning. All of us, different stories, different places, different spaces, we all have different varying levels of connectedness. Some of you in this room, you're feeling very connected. You're feeling like you have relationships. You're feeling close to people. You feel like your story's known. You feel like you're able to be known and help others feel known. But there's many in this room that you are lonely and you're disconnected and you have tons of friends, but no one really knows you. Some of you have had seasons of your life that you look back and go, those were the times that I was connected. And this time isn't one of those times. Some of you are walking with a friend right now that feels lonely. We're all in different varying levels of relationship to God and relationship to others and this connectedness that we have. But I think this morning God wants to remind us of this powerful truth that regardless of how you feel this morning, there's a promise that you're adopted into God's family. In fact, here's a few verses just to assure the theology of adoption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, God decided in advance to what? Adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Aren't you thankful for that? God wanted to do this, and he wanted you to be a part of his family. John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus says this, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. I'm not gonna leave you alone. I will come and help you be a part of a family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. This love that we should be called children of God, and so we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. mighty. And maybe the most pithy and direct and to the point of all of them, and maybe my favorite, Psalms chapter 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. See, the biblical truth is the theology of adoption. When you say yes to Jesus, and you begin to be in relationship with Jesus, he adopts you into his family. And so this morning, I want to study Romans chapter 8, some of the scriptures that we read. I believe in these scriptures are seven privileges of godly adoption, seven principles of godly adoption. And yes, we are going to cover all seven in 24 minutes. So buckle up this morning. Here we go. Number one, privileges of godly adoption. Here's the first one. Condemnation released. When the Spirit of God calls you home into God's family and he adopts you into his family, the first thing you got to know this morning is your condemnation is released. I love what it says in Romans 8:1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, am I the only one that doesn't believe that verse 99.9% of the time? Man, how much of our life is us feeling condemned and feeling like God's against us? I mean, I think sometimes we think that there's different varying levels of sin. And yes, sin has human consequences. Don't get me wrong. When we choose to do certain things, we sometimes have to reap the results of some of those consequences. But also, I just want to tell you this morning, from a spiritual level, God does not condemn you. So much of our life is living in shame or living in this like, oh, God's mad at me. And I just want to tell you this morning, God's not mad at you and God doesn't condemn you. In fact, I love the context of this verse. In context, you have to think of Romans chapter 7, one chapter before. Paul is speaking in direct relationship to Romans chapter 7, where he says this statement, and we've said it before, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I do are the things that I didn't want to do in the first place. Can you relate with that? And Paul says, in the context of that, when you do things that you're not proud of, shame off you. No condemnation for you. The shame is off you. Our condemnation is released. I wonder if someone this morning is feeling the weight of all of your sin and you're feeling the weight of all of your decisions. I just feel like the Lord wants to remind you today, welcome to the family. Privilege number one, your condemnation is released. The power in this is so amazing when you see the context. You see, in the Roman world, adoption was a normal thing. But it wasn't normal like we know it today. See, you have to know the context of Paul when he's talking about spiritual adoption into God's kingdom. He's relating it back to adoption of what happened in the Roman world. See, most of us, when we hear adoption, we think of primarily of compassion. We think of, I adopt someone into my family, I'm doing something of compassion, I'm taking in someone, a child or someone who is vulnerable, I'm bringing them in, and that's a beautiful thing. But that's not necessarily the context of what this is. We get this kind of this is us picture, and it's beautiful and it's godly, and that's what God calls us to do. But that's not what solely the Roman world was thinking. See, the Roman world, adoption wasn't only about compassion, it was about identity, it was about inheritance, and it was about status. You see, in the Roman world, which Paul was speaking to, adoption was a legal act that changed everything about a person's life. In fact, some things happened when you were adopted into a family. When you were adopted into a family, your old family debts were completely erased. Amen. That would be nice, wouldn't it, right? All your debts, completely erased. All of your family's debts, completely erased. The former identity was legally terminated. So when you get adopted into a new family, who you were is not you anymore. Signed, sealed, delivered. You're a new person with a new name and a new household. And by the way, it's permanent. Can't change it. Once you've been adopted, you're in the family. And they became a full heir, equal, if not sometimes more than equal, to a natural born son. The surprising part is they adopted adults because it was about identity. It was about inheritance. It was about status. It was a person in a Roman family saying, I want that person to take my inheritance. I want to be associated with that person. I want them into our family. It was intentional. It was thoughtful. It was thorough. And so adoption in the Roman world was about choosing an heir. A father would deliberately say, I want you to carry my name. I want you to inherit my future. In fact, there's even stories of the Caesars of Roman era being intentionally chosen, of adopted into a family, so that they would be the ones to lead Rome. And once you were adopted in the Roman world, it was irreversible. You could disown a child, a biological child in Roman law. In fact, it was very normal. It's why Christians were the first adoption agency. Because in the Roman world, people would disown their biological children all the time. But once you were adopted in the Roman world, it was almost impossible to undo that action because it was a chosen relationship. Did you catch that? Once you're adopted, impossible to undo. And I want you to see the parallel this morning. Paul is thinking of this kind of adoption when he says, you were adopted into God's family. Your condemnation released. He's thinking of this as a very legal thing, like a courtroom. Jesus stands in your place. He takes your condemnation. He takes your guilt. He takes your sin. He releases you from that. He takes you out of your shackles and your chains and your guiltiness of the courtroom, and he exchanges it with the family room. He says, you were guilty, but now you're not. No condemnation for you. Come and join the family. This is what this is saying. This is good news this morning. Your old debts are released. Your old identity, legally terminated. A new name. You're a new you. On a spiritual level, God has created you anew. You're not under the curse of the law anymore. You have a new name, a new identity. This is the gospel. Some of you have been beating yourself up for something that God's already forgiven you for. You're counting yourself out of what God's already counted you in. You're feeling lonely because of your decisions. Receive this truth today. Welcome to God's family. Privilege number one. There's no condemnation for you. Welcome home. This is good news today. Feeling lonely, God's family, privileges number one is there's no condemnation. Number two, I promise they all won't be that long. Keep going. Here, number two, privilege of godly adoption, freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Romans 8:15, for the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. And in some way and somehow, and I feel like all of us can name this and claim this and say this in different ways about our own life, that fear seems to be like this hidden driver of loneliness. Like the fear of rejection, or the fear of being fully known, or the fear of not being fully enough. We feel these fears of what are they going to think of me? Are they going to reject me? Or if they really knew who I was, what would they do? And so we protect ourselves. We put these walls up. We put these masks up. We edit our conversations. We hide our weaknesses. And these strategies of fear, they make us more and more and more isolated and lonely. We're not fully known. We're not fully seen. Only known is the false part of you. And the false part of you isn't the real you. So you're not fully known. Why? Because of this drive of fear, this hidden driver of fear. I mean, check out this text. The spirit you received does not make you slaves. I mean, think of the life of a slave. The slave is insecure. Will I be cast out? Where do I really stand with the owner? Super low self-esteem, super low self-worth. I want to remind you today that God doesn't call you a slave. He calls you a son. He calls you a daughter. I want to remind you today, God doesn't call you a slave. He calls you a saint. You are a saint, a son and daughter purchased by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to live in crippling fear like a slave. You can live in security of a son or a daughter. Today, you are safe today. The privilege of being in God's family, of being adopted in God's family, you get this safety net. You're safe. You're secure. You have freedom from fear. And here's the truth. Some of you this morning have a mountain of fear right in front of you. I mean, it's a conversation that is nearly impossible. It's a situation that you're up against relationally or with your family or at work, or there's just that mountain right there. And I'm not saying that the mountain's going to go away, but what I am saying is when you get into God's family, you don't fear the mountain anymore. You look at it and say, this is big, but my God is bigger. You look at it and say, this seems impossible, but my God does the impossible. You look at it and say, the circumstance might not change, but I'll change, so I don't have to fear the circumstance because I'm going to change regardless. I'm going to grow regardless. Freedom from fear. That even if it doesn't go your way, it's still okay. And that even if it goes way worse, it's still okay. This is freedom from fear, privilege of godly adoption. Number three, privileges of godly adoption. I love this one, friendship with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, and we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I love this one, friendship with God. This word Abba, Father, represents this, these terms of endearment and intimacy and trust. It's like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's about to go to the cross, and he prays the prayer from Mark chapter 14, Abba, Father. In other words, like I'm asking you as my Father. It's an endearment. It's a trust. It's an intimacy. It's a closeness. I'm asking you to meet me here. Like, I know you're God. How many know when we come into God's presence, we ought to enter into God's presence with an awe and with a respect and with a holiness, and we also ought to enter into God's presence with He wants to be our friends. He wants to be in relationship with us. Now, what we don't do is bring God down to human level. Are you with me this morning? We keep God highly and exalted and reverent and the place that He deserves to be, but we take Him at His word, and that sometimes He wants us to be in these moments of crying, Abba, Father, of having this closeness. It's like one of my favorite parts of the day is when I'm getting done with work and driving home, and I drive into our driveway, I walk inside the house, and I open up the door, and I look, and there's about a trillion Legos sitting on the floor, and Liam is just all over the place building Lego sets. And then it's like the quick glance, and he sees me walk through the door, and it's like, Daddy's home. How many parents have experienced that before, right? And you're like, I just wanna freeze this over and over and over, because in a few years, it's not gonna be all that impressive to him when I walk into the front door. But right now, it's like, Dad's home. And it's just like this, yeah, we're here. There's a connection. There's a relationship. We're back. We're here. Dad had a good day at work, but now he's really glad to be home with you, buddy. It's awesome. Sometimes that's what God, I think that's what God wants. Like, could you imagine if I trained my son to be like, I want you to talk to me reverently when I walk through the front door, right? My 4.5-year-old son, I want you to come up and shake my hand. Dad, it's great to see you today in your own house. No. I love that my son just wants to run and come and jump in my arms. I love that he wants to be in relationship with me. And in the same way, I think once in a while, we don't forget God's reverence, we don't forget God's holiness, but once in a while, I think God wants us to enter into his presence and go, I'm just so glad that you're my Father. And we just kind of be. And we recognize that we're safe. And we recognize that he's with us. You see, my friends, there is a friendship that will outweigh every human friendship. See, don't make the mistake of us in the series thinking that what we're saying is human relationships can replace the godly relationship and friendship. How many know you can have a million great friends, but if your alignment with God and friendship isn't there, you will still be lonely. But when your relationship with God is good, and you know God as holy and righteous, but also you know God as friend, and you walk with him and you spend time with him. Could you imagine if you just called your kids once every couple weeks when you decide, hey, I'm gonna, like we sometimes treat God like a Sunday morning, like I'm gonna worship you for an hour. I'm so glad that I get to talk to my son more than just an hour a week. I love talking to him every single day. It's the same way for God. This is what he's trying to get us to see. I want you to talk with me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to remember me. This is the friendship that we have with God. This is a privilege of adoption. In him we cry, Abba, Father. Number four, privileges of godly adoption. I love this one. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Are you with me? Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, when you get entered in and get placed in God's family because your moment of salvation, and you said yes to Jesus, and you get put into God's family, adopted into his family, here's a promise, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. I believe, and we believe here at Calvary, that the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. That the Holy Spirit goes from living beside you to living inside you. and the Holy Spirit begins to guide your life and walk with you. I love the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Scripture is corrector. We can see these in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is a corrector. He's a comforter. Aren't you thankful for the comfort of the Holy Spirit in tough days? I don't know how you go through grief and how you go through loss without knowing the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Like there's some way on the hardest of days and the most complicated of days when your life and your soul is full of grief and yet you know, I'm gonna be okay. I don't know how, I'm still sad. But the Holy Spirit comes and comforts you in that moment. The Holy Spirit corrects us. Aren't you thankful for those moments? They're hard and they're difficult, but the Holy Spirit just keeps on through different circumstances and people and places and scriptures. They're saying, hey, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. He just keeps knocking at the door of your heart. He's correcting, he's guiding. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. It's like those moments in your life when you're driving on the freeway or you're walking to a meeting or you're in the grocery store and all of a sudden you just remember Psalm 23, John chapter 15, Psalms chapter 1, Psalms chapter 16, John chapter 15, these scriptures that maybe you've hidden in your heart and the Holy Spirit just brings them to, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. It's like here this morning, how can I speak this same message at however many services we have, 18,000 of them, however many there are. Like I can speak the same message and it can be heard in 1,000 different ways. Like everyone will leave with a different thing that the Lord spoke to them. That's beautiful. I'm just a human inspired by the Holy Spirit speaking what God's laid on my heart. And then God takes it and he changes you. He works in your life. Aren't you thankful for that, right? That's the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. And I would add this morning that no ministry is worth doing if the Holy Spirit isn't in it. And the Holy Spirit isn't on it. Holy Spirit comes into a person, a place, or a time and empowers them for the work of ministry and fruit comes from it. And amazing things happen. The Holy Spirit's a healer. He heals us on the inside. He walks with us in the most hurtful of times. He begins to heal our soul. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit seals and sanctifies our salvation. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. When you get into God's family, God says, "Welcome to my family. Here's the Holy Spirit. Here's a guide, here's a corrector, here's a comforter, here's a teacher. This is a privilege of godly adoption." Number 5 this morning, privilege of godly adoption. I love this one. Security for your future. Security for your future. Verse 17, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Do you see that? When God calls you a child, he adopts you into his family. You're an heir, not just an heir, you're an heir of God, and not just an heir of God, you're a co-heir with Christ. In other words, everything belonging to Christ becomes yours. God's love, the kingdom of God, the values of the kingdom, the promises of the kingdom, resurrection life, all become ours. I love it, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, because some of you don't believe me. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with" what? "Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Does it say some spiritual blessings? No. What's it say? Every spiritual blessing. I don't even know what that means. But I know that's amazing. And I know that everything that Christ has, he promises to you. Good morning, welcome to church. You've received your entire inheritance already. And it's better than any dollar amount you'll ever receive. It's billions of dollars better, billions of reasons better than that. His inheritance in Christ. You have security this morning because Christ goes before you. You have security this morning because you've received the good news of the kingdom. You have security this morning because you know the God of the future and the God of the now. You have security for your future. Welcome to the family of God. God brings you into his family. He says, "Welcome to the family. Have everything that the family has. Welcome to the table. Everything that we have is yours. My house is your house. My casa es tu casa," right? I love this. Privileges of godly adoption, that we inherit the blessings of God and the blessings of the kingdom. Number 6, privileges of godly adoption, purpose in your suffering. When you join God's family, you get purpose in your suffering. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Purpose in our suffering. I don't know how you come to grips with suffering if you don't know Jesus. I really don't. Like, when you know Jesus, I wish that we could have a get out of suffering free card. Like, I wish we could promise that. And there's some pastors that will try. Promise you that if you come to Jesus, all of your problems and health and wealth and prosperity will all be yours. And all your problems go away. How many know that is not the Bible and that is not the gospel? Bad things happen to good people. Life isn't fair. The cancer diagnosis comes to the best people. Talked with someone last night who's just like the epitome of health, been a woman of God for this house for 15 plus years, has discipled young adults, has been like literally like Mother Teresa status. I don't even know how else to equate to her. She is an amazing woman of God, and she can't figure out why she's sick. My God, why her? Life's not fair. The cancer diagnosis comes, the job loss comes, the house burns down, the natural disaster happens, the friendship turmoil happens, the thing that you weren't expecting comes, the upside down, I don't know how I'm gonna do this, or what this is gonna happen. When you did nothing wrong, but everything comes against you, you're in a season of against, where everything's against, everything's against, everything's against, and you're like, God, all I've been is faithful. I wanna tell you this morning, I can't promise you why suffering happens, and I can't promise you that suffering won't happen, but this is the promise of Scripture, that when you join the family of God, you actually get a purpose in the suffering. That God doesn't waste a hurt. Now you might never see the result. You might never see why you walk through the thing that you walk through. But I promise you, God doesn't waste a hurt. God will use everything you've walked through, and for his glory and somehow for your good, he will use that to help someone else. I've heard it said this way before, your greatest misery can often become your greatest ministry. That when you've gone through something hard, that's the thing, that when someone else goes through that same hard thing, you're gonna be able to go, I can't make it better, but I can say I've been there. I'm gonna walk with you through this. See, we get purpose in our suffering. See, Jesus understood betrayal. Jesus understood loneliness. Jesus understood abandonment. And your adoption into the family of God, it gives you a perspective in your suffering. If we share in his sufferings, Romans 8 says, if we share in his sufferings, then we will also share in his glory. We share in his sufferings. And I'll say this morning, your suffering has a potential to make you a better son or daughter. When you go through a tough thing, and when we go through suffering, it exposes things in us. It exposes where we find our identity. It exposes where we find our approval. It exposes where we might fear rejection. See, suffering is a holy and crazy and beautiful and difficult and tragic and hard thing all at the same time. But God never wastes a hurt, and he gives purpose in our suffering. So that's the beautiful thing about the family of God. When you join God's family, it doesn't promise a life full of Disneyland-esque type life, but it does promise a family of God, and it does promise when you go through hard things, we go through hard things. That's what Galatians says. When you go through a hard thing, I go through a hard thing. And we go through suffering together. It's like, it's kind of like the gym. I hate the gym. How about you? Man, I hate the gym. I see Chris at the gym all the time. He makes me feel bad about myself because he's just like buff. And I'm just like not, right? But like when you go to the gym and like you're on, you know, the last rep, and the coach or the trainer or the person you're working out with goes, just one more rep. You can do one more. And you're barely doing it. You know what I hear, honestly, in that moment? I hear, I hate you. That's like what I hear in that moment. That's what I feel. But you do it. And you do the one more rep. And you know why the trainer says that? It's not because they hate you. It's because they see something more in you that you don't see in yourself yet. This is like suffering. We go through hard things and we keep going because there's more for us to grow into on the other end of this. See, suffering gets a purpose when we join God's family. Lastly, this morning, the seventh privilege of godly adoption is that we get a family to belong to. When you join God's family, when you get adopted into God's family, you get a place to belong to. See, many of us are asking the "where do I belong" question. And you've looked in all sorts of places to try and find belonging. And I want to tell you, where you find belonging is right in front of you. You find belonging in God's family, where people from all different places of life and all different skill sets and all different seasons, the young and the old, and people from different cultures and different backgrounds and different languages, all of us come together and we make up the family of God. And it's beautiful and it's messy and it's complicated, but somehow I lift you up and you lift me up and we're a part of God's family together. I love what Tim Keller says. He says it this way. He says, "The gospel creates a community where strangers become family." I love that. Where strangers, where you might not even know the person next to you or in front of you or behind you, they might seem as if strangers to you, but I want you to shift your mindset this morning. When someone comes to know Jesus, you might not know their name, but they're your family. When someone comes to know Jesus, they might not live in Sumner, they might live in South Africa, but if they profess faith in Jesus, they're our family. When you come to faith in Jesus, you can come to a church and you can sit in a service, and I pray you don't see this as an event, I pray you see this as a family gathering, where the family has come together to worship and lift up God, and the family has come together to use our gifts and to serve one another. And that's why there's hundreds of different serving opportunities here on Sunday mornings where you can serve and use your gifts, because that's what the family does. The family serves one another. The family loves one another. The family sacrifices for one another. The family worships with one another. The family of God comes. We belong to a family together. See, I want you to know this morning that you believe. I hope that you believe that you belong. I want to say it that way. I hope that you believe that you belong. And I hope that you see this as a family gathering that you get to contribute to rather than an event that you get to come to consume. See, this is where church becomes really fun and meaningful, is when we get to know one another, when we kind of come out of the shadows and we risk a little bit and we build relationships. And, you know, Pastor Daniel had this amazing opening to the series last week, and he talked about some of the hurt relationships that we have in family or in church or in workplaces or whatever, wherever your relationships might, you might have a hurt relationship. And I wish that it would just heal. You know, sometimes time heals things, but most of the time it's not time healing things, it's intentionality healing things. It's intentional to get back in relationship or intentionality to risk again. And so this morning, I just want to invite you, risk again. Try to trust again. Try to take God at his word again. See, I think we believe this thing, that salvation, and in the United States of America and in the Western world, we believe this thing where salvation, it's just me and God, man. Me and God made the decision. I'm just over here. I'm living my life. And I want to tell you, yes, no one else can make that decision for faith but you. God comes into your life. He's knocking at the door of your heart. You must say yes to him. But I also want to tell you this morning what God, when you come into salvation, God never meant this to be a thing where you just get to move to an island and you get to live in Hawaii for the rest of your life apart from relationships. Though that would be nice if we all could move to Hawaii together, right? But that's not how God works. How God works is when you commit your life to Christ, he says, "I love you. Welcome to the family. Here's the people of God. Do life with them." That's the ecclesia. It's a New Testament word, the people of God, the gathering of the saints. We're called to gather all the time. We're called to be people of gathering, people that gather as the people of God. And yeah, in spaces like this, but in coffee shops and in living rooms and in phone calls, we're called to be the types of people that we walk alongside one another. We do this thing called following Jesus, not alone, but as a family. We're a family. And when you come into adoption, God adopts you. He gives you a family to belong to. I'll end with this. Last week, Pastor Daniel talked about a study that the Surgeon General did. Last night I called it the Attorney General, and I was like, wrong general, the Surgeon General. This is what the Surgeon General said. The United States Surgeon General, this was years ago, so it's only worse today. The Surgeon General says this: loneliness is far more than just a bad feeling. Loneliness harms, please hear this, loneliness harms both individual, societal health. Loneliness is associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. The U.S. Surgeon General waving the flag going, there's a societal issue. People are lonely and it's killing them, literally. They're disconnected and it's having physical effects on them. And it's not just the disconnection is causing a physical effect, it's causing a societal effect, because as we're not well, our society's not well. And the Surgeon General goes on to say in the same study that Pastor Daniel even referenced last week, he says this: the mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So in the 60s, the Surgeon General came out in that time and said, smoking's bad for you. And right? Smoking's bad for you. The 60s, we can confirm it. Smoking's bad. We gotta send a notice out that we need to let people know that this is harmful for your body to do this. Decades later, a Surgeon General puts out the same exact notice and says, loneliness is killing us. Smoking is bad. Loneliness, arguably just as bad. It's like 15 cigarettes a day. And that's the reality in which we're living to. And I just want to say, this is prime opportunity for the church to be the church. This is prime opportunity for us to not see this as everyone else sees this. To not see this as something that we come and we hear a message or we worship and we have an hour and then we go. What gives us a message to the world, what allows the church to be a voice to the world, is when we get uber connected with each other. We love each other in our highs and in our lows. We walk through, we get connected. We take the risk of connection. We start the Bible study. We go to Starbucks and invite people to come with us. We invite the home group. We join Rooted. We do Brave. We sign up to serve in kids. We sign up to serve in youth. We join the worship team. We serve behind the scenes in production. We welcome and greet at the door. Not because any of those tasks are about the task. What it's about is we're a family. And we commit to serve one another. And we commit to come together. And so I just say this morning, where can you risk this morning? It might be in here. It might be out there. Where can you invite people in a relationship? Because this is our voice to the world. When the people of God aren't lonely, when the people of God are connected and we're known, fully loved, and we live life together and we walk together, we become whole, we become healthy, and now we can go be people of hope in the world around us. This is the call. We are declaring war on loneliness because this is a battle that many are facing and many of you in this room are facing. And I just want to say this morning, God adopts you into his family. Welcome home. Be reminded of that today. And live from that belief that regardless of any circumstance, you're seen. Amen. The ushers are going to come. We're going to receive communion this morning. I'm going to invite you to stay seated. They're going to come and serve us, and I'll come and close us in just a few moments. I'll lead us through communion.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.